Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
What do you get when a fearless supermodel, a media trailblazer, and a self-esteem warrior all happen to be the same person? You get Clarissa Bird, today's extraordinary guest on The Discovering Journeys, and I'm your host, Sujala. Clarissa is one of those rare powerhouses who's done it all and then some more. She started as an international supermodel, became a household name in TV and film, and then went on to build her own media empire. She is the founder and CEO of In the Limelight Media, a platform that spans TV, podcasting, and digital magazines. She is also the winner of Celebrity Survivor, the first American to present Russian TV at the Kremlin, and has not had one, but two private audiences with the Pope. And she has also helped African women win a Nobel Prize in 2011. But beneath the glitz and global impact is a woman who is deeply passionate about helping others silence their inner critic and truly see themselves. In her best-selling book, The Self-Esteem Regime, she just doesn't talk about confidence. She breaks it down into action, offering a path forward for anyone who's ever struggled with the voice inside that says, "You're not enough." And how to reclaim your presence, whether you're on a stage, in a boardroom, or just alone with your thoughts. So if you have ever struggled with negative self-talk, or just felt like you had to wear a mask just to feel enough, this episode is your permission to take it off. Grab a drink and let's hear from Clarissa. Hello, Clarissa. Welcome to my podcast. I'm so honored and excited to have this conversation with you. So thank you.
Thanks, Sujala. Is that the way to say your name, Sujala?
Yes, Sujala.
That's wonderful. Well, I know that you're in the south of France and I'm in Rome, so we're both European today somehow.
Yes.
I'm an American and I just happen to be here for work in Europe. And so we're both on this side, and it's so beautiful, so lucky. And I've lived here for so many years, but you know, Rome just never gets old. It's always a spectacular city.
Yeah, it has its own charm. I can really stay there. I have visited twice and I can visit one more time. No problem.
Come on over.
Thank you. You have had an incredible journey from being a supermodel to an award-winning media personality and an author. What have been some of the most defining moments so far in your journey?
I think the first defining moment was when I was Mary Poppins in the kindergarten play. I was 5 years old, and I knew that, you know, I was the girl in the class that was, you know, the most indomitable, I think. I had a lot of energy, and I loved music, and I loved singing, and I knew the words to every song, like in the world. And so I got the coveted part of being Mary Poppins, you know, when I was 5 years old in the school play. And I loved that. I loved that. It was the first time in front of an audience. And it was the first time I got a standing ovation. You know, people stood up and were applauding. I was hooked. I just knew that that was going to be my life's journey, you know, as being on camera in front of a microphone and communicating through broadcast, which has been, basically a huge, huge part of my life. Fast forward past that, I started to model, and I had a phenomenal, you know, modeling career, which was just so darn fun. And that then parlayed into becoming an actress. And then I became a producer. And so I think it's really that we started with the love of the medium, the love of communication, of, you know, in some way, shape, or form. And then for me, that meant theater, it meant broadcast, it meant movies, it meant, you know, organizing events for other people, which is something I'm doing now for 300 people in April here in Rome. So I just happened to love the whole the whole aspect of entertainment, being entertaining. And with my my media group is called In the Limelight. We have television, a podcast, and a digital magazine. And I found the niche to help entrepreneurial women, share their wares, be able to promote their businesses in a very easy and functional way. So whether I'm on stage, I'm helping other people be on stage, here I am. I'm still here, and it's still what I love after all these years.
Wow, it's so inspiring, and let's dig into it more. So with over 35 years of experience in the whole entertainment industry, the technology has changed massively over the years, especially in the last decade. So how have you stayed or relevant or adapted yourself in this whole changing scenario?
Well, I mean, you have to stay ahead of the curve. You have to stay learning. You have to stay taking courses. I was taking, before speaking to you, a course on AI just to make sure that I'm constantly learning about what's coming along with AI. You never have to give up the idea that you know it all. You have to give that up because you don't, because something new is coming tomorrow. And whatever is coming tomorrow, maybe you find out about it in a week, but you still have to be on top of that, and knowing what's happening. And then being comfortable with, the way it is. It's certainly, in some way, it's much easier. In the sense that, media, a lot of, moving around and being in studios and being at the theater and being, at rehearsals. Now with Zoom, we can do things much more quickly. And then certainly with the kind of things that we're doing now, we're doing an interview from long, long away. I mean, 20 years ago, you or me would have had to get on a plane, or we would be talking on a very, very expensive long distance phone call. And so these kinds of things weren't as available. They weren't available. And so, that's another way that things are quicker. Things are immediate. They're all mostly technological now, and we have to stay ahead of learning how that all works. And so, yeah, that's one of the things that I think is the most prevalent way that things have changed. And the other thing is, now with us in the United States, in 6 days' time, we're losing TikTok, right? They're banning TikTok for us. And so, now we have to learn, where are we going to go find each other now? So we were there, we created the communities, we had the algorithms that knew us and knew what we wanted, the kind of content we wanted to ingest. Now what do we do? Now, where do we go? So all of these things of, never getting too comfortable with the way one thing is, because invariably it's going to change as well. So being able to adapt and to pivot quickly onto what's coming next is really important also, or you're going to get lost in the mix. So that's important also. And then just staying really in love with what it is you do, I can tell you that I am still in love when I do an interview, whether I did it 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, or today, with all of the changes that took place in the meantime. What I still love is being able to sit down one-on-one, either in the person or on the computer, and pull out the story from somebody that I want to hear and that they want to tell.
Wow, yes. As a young girl, you were hooked onto the stage. Did you know that this is how it will take off when you were around 20, before you started off your first modeling?
I knew that I loved it from the first get-go. I wasn't able to do anything else as I was a child after that, because my parents both worked and I had to stay home and watch, the children and get the dinner ready and all those things. They asked me over the years if I would do other things, and I wasn't able to. So when I was finally free to be able to do that, I started to work in New York City when I was 19, and I just wanted to model. That's really what I wanted to do, but I didn't believe in myself. I didn't think I could. I didn't think I was pretty enough, or I could do the things that, were required of a model. And so it wasn't until many people around me said, you really should model. And so I think it was really it wasn't my self-esteem for sure. It was other people that were very kind and generous with their compliments that left the seed in my brain. Maybe I could, maybe I could, maybe I could. And so, of course, like anything else, you never know until you try. And so I did try, and it did work, and I did move forward. But that's certainly, it usually has a time expiration. I modeled until I was about 29. And then that's when I started to work on Italian television. And I did some movies in that time period as well. But I didn't always know because I didn't always believe. And so that's the other reason why I wrote the book, The Self-Esteem Regime, was because I wanted to help other women and girls that were going through the same things.
When you moved to New York City at the age of 19 or 20, were you scared of the uncertainty? How did you manage?
Because I wanted the bright lights and I wanted the big city. And I was so attracted to it that it didn't matter my fears. You know, this one thing about fear is that it's always going to hold you back. You know, it's, I think they say it's like false evidence appearing real. And so, you know, it's the things you make up in your mind. And of course, they are a lot of the things that we do in our lives as we grow and as we mature and as we move on and we look forward are going to be scary. But that's part of the fascinating challenge of it all. And so I've lost a lot, I must say, I have lost a lot of time being afraid in my life. And so now that I'm coming up on 66 years old, I know now that I'm not giving any more time or any more credence to the voices in my head, because yes, I wrote the book, but yes, I still have the voices sometimes. And I don't give it that much time anymore. I just don't give it any time at all. I just go, see you later, not today, you know, brush you off. And try anyway. That's it. You just have to push forward and try anyway. And you know what? You know, failure is your first attempt in learning. Fail, first attempt in learning. And so if you're failing, it means that you know what you won't do again, so you can try something else that's new. And so that's very important, I think, is that a lot of people, when they get rejected or feel rejection, again, remembering that rejection is redirection. And so remembering that, you know, a no isn't always a no. Rejection doesn't mean there's something wrong with you. It just means, you know, there's another way around it, and that the growth that you're going through, you know, each time you get, you know, beat down and you come back up, that growth period right there is what builds your character. It's going to continue, serving you in your life.
At any point, did you feel that you're going to make it big during your modeling years?
You know, when I was making it big, I didn't realize how big it was. And so I just went on thinking, well, this is the way it is. This is my work and things are going well and that's great. But I didn't realize until many years later that it truly was a 1% career. The 1% of the girls that model get to do the phenomenal things that I got to do. And that is, you know, I came with 250 magazine covers. I walked on almost every major runway in the world. I was in, you know, many, many different...
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
And editorials. I mean, my modeling career, I had beauty campaigns, four or five different beauty campaigns, from Orlan to Revlon to Dior to Carita. I had many different beauty campaigns also, which not everybody, I worked with catalogs from Germany and Japan. There was a whole spectrum of modeling that some girls only did one of those things. I was one of the first girls that did all of those things. And it was worth taking the risk of the fear, because it worked out beautifully for me in the end. You know, I mean, I never thought I could. There are so many, you know, women and girls at the time that were really, really perfect for being models. I mean, there were so many of us, you know, that were there and were doing a great job. So how can I add to all of this? You know, so got, you know, my confidence, got my learning curve, learned what the business was about, did my best work, made sure that I was always professional, learned all the craft from makeup to hair to color to proportion to lighting to working with different people every day. Every gig you get, every work you get or job that you get is with another photographer, another makeup artist, another hair person, another client. So in all of that, you're working with a whole new plethora of people every day. And it's a whole, it's like a starting all over again. It's like learning the psychology also is, you know, of the, you look at the clothes, you know, you see how much movement you have in the clothes. Can you create movement with the clothes, or are you going to be creating movement with your body? Meaning if something is very tight, you're not going to be throwing, you know, chiffon around. There's no chiffon. There's nothing to play with. So you play with the shapes of your body. And so these are the things that models learn about, you know, the proper angles, proper lighting, proper colors, and the proper mood for every client. It's not just standing in front of a, you know, a camera and smiling. There's so much more to it than that.
What has fame taught you over the years?
Fame? To be really grateful, first off, because it could happen to so many other people and it happened to you. So that's something I live in, is gratitude constantly. And what it taught me was to be humble, because it could be gone tomorrow. What it taught me is to be helpful, because through celebrity, you can definitely help other people, bring awareness to other people, show up for their people, you know, different benefits or charity events, never ask for any money for that, you know, making sure that, you know, you're there answering all of the questions, you know, giving all of the autographs, always with a smile on your face and with grace. I think that's what I would most likely like to be remembered for when it comes to being known. That's basically what it taught me. It taught me also that it's not the end with all. It's not everything. It's a nice thing. And it does not define you. You define it. And so being very careful not to get to be taken, you know, carried away with that, staying very grounded. And one of the things I must say that I like the most in all of that is that most of the people that know me, and again, 30 years here in Italy, have always said to me, Clarissa, you're so real. You know, you're just real. You're true to yourself, and, you know, you never got inflated, which is nice to hear.
That's a beautiful compliment.
Nice to hear.
What made you move to Rome and have this love for Rome, and you say it is your second home?
Well, I first had the first opportunity was when I went to Paris. I went to Paris first, and I was there for almost a year. I just wasn't ready. I wasn't ready mentally. I just wasn't ready to be away from home. I'm really a homebody. So it took, even that was a learning curve for me, was learning how to be away from what was familiar, family, the familiarity. That took me a little bit of time as well, as when I was younger, to learn how to do that. I really set myself free when I was about 23, 24. That's when I came back to Rome, or sorry, to Milan. And that's when now I'm really ready, you know, and I was. And so I started really modeling when I was 24, which was really late in today's standards. Most of the girls are starting 10 years earlier, at least, much younger. So that helped me. But I was really just, you know, it really was not really ready at the beginning. You know, there's always, I tend to find, at least in my experience, there's always that precursor moment where there's like, you know, with the car, you go, vroom, 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 you know, vroom, vroom. Well, I went through quite a few of those before I went vroom, 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 you know, when the car started. And so, you know, there was a few of those times in my life where I was learning. I was still in a learning curve and it just wasn't ready to land yet. But once it landed, once the car started, there was no stopping. So that was good.
As a CEO of the In Limelight Media, what was the vision you started off, and how have you been able to stay relevant even today?
Yeah, the idea was to have a multimedia platform for women. And the idea also behind that is to be able to teach women how to do what we are doing. So how to teach them how to be on television, have a podcast, potentially be on have their own magazine or be in a magazine. So I created a multimedia platform that helped women promote their businesses. A lot of times, especially, in difficult times, COVID, bad economic times, depressions, recessions, the first thing that will hit a business, especially a small business, is promotion and publicity, because the monies are going to other things that may be more important or may seem more important. What I argue, and that I really underline, is that one of the most important things you will ever do with your money is promotion and publicity, because you constantly want people to know you're viable and you're out here, that you're still in business. And so that should always be at the top of the totem and not at the bottom. So I created a multimedia platform that was cost affordable for women to be able to come on, have their television show, be on Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, train them how to do that. And then also with the podcast, the same thing. So that's kind of where the idea came from. It went very well. So I was really very happy about that. The other thing is that you must be really careful about is I'm a solopreneur. So I work alone. And if something happens to me or happens in my life, then my business will suffer. And so that's exactly what happened to me in 2022. My mother was in a very bad car accident. And so long story short is I had to take off time and really relent, pedal a little bit on how much time I could spend with my business. So, always having backup plans there. I have other people that have stepped in for me in different places that are helping keep the business viable. I cannot give as much time to it, but that's okay. I will eventually get back to it. But always having, that backup is a really, strong idea to keep in your, to keep as an entrepreneur, especially as a solopreneur.
Given your amazing journey, awards, accolades, and your experience, one cannot associate that you struggled with negative self-talk or a low self-esteem. So what was the phase like for you?
Well, I think, we learn a lot of the things from our familial tribe, right? We get a lot of our sense of self-esteem, happy or not, from home. And we watch, as girls, we watch our mothers and grandmothers. We listen, and we take in a lot from our fathers. And I think that that's the first step. So if they don't have happy, healthy self-esteem, you're really unsure about yourself as well until you learn that there's another way. And so as I was growing, one of the first things that I always did was go to the bookstores. And in the United States at the time, we had three very strong bookstores. Now there's only one. And the section called self-help. And that's where I got a lot of my solace, assistance, my help, my support, my guidance, and the reason why. Because there were a lot of things in my life. I was just like, well, why? And so I garnered a lot of information there. Now there's only one bookstore left in the United States, Barnes & Noble. And my book is on the shelf in Barnes & Noble. This is kind of where I started. And it's where I've been able also to give back, if you will. And The Self-Esteem Regime is really 12 chapters of It's a manual. For me, it's a manual, a mission, and a movement. And it's 12 chapters that are, that are ingestible and then digestible. And then you work on them one at a time. The first one is release. So what have we learned that we think is etched in stone from our families, our friends, our educational systems, our faith potentially, our social media, from all the things where we get information from? What have we always believed had to be true, that we find out maybe there's a little wiggle room around that truth? And so as I was leaving my parental home, I learned that a lot of things that were happening in my home weren't going to be working on the outside. You know, the screaming and the yelling and the hollering, and I wasn't going to work outside my house. So there were things that I had to adjust to and learn so that I could also have learn about what's a happy, healthy self-esteem really is.
How does one recognize negative self-talk? Because many times during the day you say, oh my God, I did this again. Oh, I'm always clumsy or something.
You're either apologizing to yourself for, or you're apologizing to someone else for. That's definitely the thing that when you look in the mirror and you don't find satisfaction. The daily demons that come in every day and want to, you know, tear you down and tell you you're not good enough and that, you know, what's wrong with you and, you know, you, something's wrong with you. When in effect, there's really nothing wrong with you. There are things you still have to work on. We are all a work in progress. I'm still a work in progress. But wanting to know and have as your mantra, I want to be a better person tomorrow than I am today. And if you keep that as your mantra, and it could be the littlest things, but if you keep that as your mantra, and kindness is one of the first things that you can do, you know, doing something kind for someone else is always a great self-esteem boost, not only for them, but for yourself as well. And there's something that I have created called, you know, I'm sure you've heard taking the high road. My high is honesty, integrity, gratitude, and honor. And so when you come to the table with any relationship, whether it be a personal relationship.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blast tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
A family relationship, a work relationship. And you know that when you come to that table, they can count on you to be honest, to live in integrity, to be in gratitude, and to be, you know, living it out with honor. Then they know who you're dealing with. They're dealing with, and you know what you're bringing to the table. What you bring to the table is that honesty and integrity, but you also bring your boundaries. And those boundaries are very important because they're the way that you teach people how you will and will not be treated. And so people are people, and they're going to try to rip you apart and tear you down and all the things and whatever. Now, I'm going to say with those boundaries, you can teach people how to properly address you, but take stock in maybe some of, not how it's being said, but maybe in what is being said. Is it true that maybe you have a little something to learn from that? And what is the message? So, you know, living in happy, healthy self-esteem takes work. You have to constantly be reminding yourself, not reprimanding yourself, but reminding yourself about those demons as they come in, making sure that you deal with them immediately, giving yourself grace, and learning how to forgive yourself for whatever mistakes you may have, because we're going to make them. I've made a million, but I know that when I come back and say, yeah, that was wrong. Who can I apologize to if I need to do that? And let me learn never to do that again. There are people in our lives that will, you know, will treat us really poorly. And it's up to you to say, hey, listen, can we talk for a moment? There's something that you did or something that you said that kind of landed wrong. And may I explain why? And if people think that when you have a boundary, you have to yell and you have to scream and you have to be offended. No, none of that. You just say, this is the deal and this is why it hurt. And this is what you may not know about me. And if someone says to you, oh, gosh, I'm so sorry. Absolutely. I had no idea. I'll never do that again. And thank you for bringing it to my attention. You probably have a very healthy relationship on your hands. Someone says to you, oh, come on, get over yourself. What the heck's the matter with you? I was just joking. You know I was. That is going to be your toxic relationship. So you're going to be really, really careful about that, right? Really careful about toxic. So learning all of those things as you go and keeping the field around you clean from toxic relationships will be another way that you will be able to have and live with happy, healthy self-esteem.
At any point so far, have you ever felt pressure, maybe within yourself or from the external during your journey? If you're enjoying this episode, make sure to follow Discovering Journeys so you never miss an inspiring journey. And if this conversation has sparked something in you, consider sharing it with your loved one who might need to hear it, or share it on your social media. Now, let's get back to our guest's incredible journey. And for more details, please check the show notes and our disclaimer. Thank you.
Pressure. I knew that, you know, there were decisions that had to be made. I mean, when I was working on Italian television, it was a really, really big television show. And they wanted me to do something half nude. You know, it was like this, it was very artistic. And you could say, oh, it was an artistic nude. And it would have passed, I suppose. But that wasn't something I was willing to do. And so when I refused to do it, with a smile on my face and with a, you know, explanation to why I wouldn't do it, people were very angry with me. And that anger, knowing that my job could have been on the line, also, you know, could have been really detrimental to the rest of my career, because then it would be, ah, she's too difficult to work with, you know how people are. But I stuck to my guns and I knew it was the right thing because I wanted to honor myself. Remember that, you know, honesty, integrity, gratitude, and honor. I honored myself in that moment and I knew it was something I didn't want to do. And for the people that want to do that, I think it's lovely and it's great and you do you. But I knew that for me, for my way of being and for the person that I want to be, it was not okay. They were very angry with me and that's just the way it was, and it's okay. So yeah, there have been things like that along the way that are pressure and have pressured me. And but again, you just never lose sight of who you are, what you are and will are not willing to accept, where your boundaries are, how you explain your boundaries. And if people get upset, well, that's on them.
What are the challenges you have faced as an woman entrepreneur earlier when you were setting up?
The challenges that I faced, in which phase? In the Limelight Media Group or back as a model? In the Limelight Media Group, where I started when I was 60. I started in the Limelight. So already most people are thinking, oh, you should be retiring. Well, I'm not. I probably never will. And it was finally the dream that I always wanted to have was, you know, I had worked on other people's television. Now I wanted to have my own media group. Oprah has hers. Martha Stewart has hers. I wanted to have my own media group. And what I will tell you is that to get the thing up and running was a lot of work. I did it as a passion project. It was really what I was passionate about. One of the challenges was that, first of all, I don't do the back end metrics. I don't say, you know, I did what I knew that was going to be helpful for women. But I didn't go, you know, I didn't see COVID coming. I didn't see the fact that all advertising was going to shut down. So it's really hard to be able to, without a crystal ball, knowing that what you're going to create is going to be viable in a year or 2 years time, because everything is variable. And certainly COVID took us into almost 4 years of variable, and the advertising, you know, was difficult. We were grassroots, so we didn't have a lot of advertising budget, which kept us smaller, than I would have liked, but, you know, everything is relative. I'm happy where I am now. The book is doing well. In 3 years in the United States, a year and a half in the bookstores here in Italy. And now I understand that with everything that I do know, what I really want to do is create events for women. Events for women, retreats for women, and still have my media group because it's still running, but give a little bit more one-on-one time. I think that we really need to start getting back into the same room. That's really where I want to be, is back in the same room.
What has driven you to take on these new challenges every now and then? Because if you see your profile, it's like supermodel, then movies, then Italian television, moving to Rome, writing, you know, entrepreneurship and supporting causes. So what is it that drives you?
It's funny when you say that, because when I think of me, I don't think I've done anything yet. You know, because I there's so much to fit into one lifetime, you know. There really, really is. And that's why I really want to get on these retreats for women. That's a really important part for me, because as I said before, getting back into the same room to me is really important. Did I answer the question? What was the original question?
What drives you to take on these new challenges? Because it's not in the same field.
It's all basically, you know, the book took me, you know, I also have a book on gluten-free eating, like it's called the Italian Gluten-Free Gastronomy Cookbook. And so I wrote that book because I have to eat gluten-free. I suffered many different anaphylactic shocks and we didn't know why. And then we understood it was gluten. So I wrote a book about gluten. And because I lived in Italy for 30 years and everything here is gluten, it's pizza, it's pasta, and it's pane, right? So bread, so everything was gluten. So I wrote that book. I wrote the book about self-esteem because that I wanted to do for 20 years. And then that finally got written, which was really exciting. It got picked up by a New York City publisher. I had Gary Krebs as my co-writer, who really is a phenomenal literary agent and literary star. And he helped me put it into the words that it needed to be in. But the book is really my baby. That's where I understood the importance of self-esteem. Then I put all that together with, where are we now in the times? Where are we now in the times? And I take a look at some of the statistics on depression, suicide, suicidal thoughts. And this goes throughout most of the ages, but usually it's mostly our youth. And so knowing where we are now, is it more important that I'm teaching people how to run a podcast? Or is it more important that I get people into a room and we start talking about the look good, feel good, be good, and greater good aspects of happy, healthy self-esteem? So that's where I am, and that's what we're going on putting together for this year. Hopefully we'll have a first retreat up by the summer, because it does take a minute to pull these things together. And that's what I'm working on now. You know, I've got a wig line coming out. You know, I'm working with a German company now for wigs. It's called Clarissa Burt Wigs, the Medi Molda collection, which means medical. And Molde is fashion. And so for women with cancer, alopecia, and for a quick solution, being able to, because many women have lost their hair to menopause, to alopecia, to cancer, to COVID. And so there's a big uprise and uptick in wigs. So I'll be pulling this. I've got a beautiful line of synthetic wigs that will be dropping in April. And that's very important. So I take a look at, you know, where what's happening around, and what's happening around is many women have lost their hair. Great. And a lot of people have lost hope. They've lost faith. They've lost drive, motivation. They've lost inspiration. And many of these people never knew what good, happy, health esteem was anyway. So I'd like to be able to kick some butt, get people in a room and kick them in the tushy, and, you know, and get people back on track. You know, the people that would like to and the people that need it, I would love to be. And it would be me and many of the people that I know and work with and I think would be perfect as teachers and trainers in the room with me.
What inspired you to write the book? Is it your life lessons or what you're seeing are in and around you?
I think it was a lot of life lessons. You know, I learned from my mother. I need to lose weight. She never needed to lose weight. And I don't take my picture. I just don't take my picture. Well, what did I do? I became a model. When back in the day in the 1950s, you know, there was a lot of they didn't like so much the Irish and the Italians. They didn't like each other very much, you know, back in the day. And I remember my father saying, oh, the Italians, bleh, you know. So what did I do? I lived in Italy for 30 years, you know. I didn't do it on purpose. It just happened that way, you know. And so I think that the idea is that, you know, I just always want to be in the right place at the right time for the right reason. And the right reason right now is people need help. They need friends. They need support. They need a way forward. They need to understand. And we're going through some really, really difficult times, especially the, you know, the United States and the politics in the United States has put us in a place where many people are very depressed. Many people are full of anxiety. Many people are, again, committing suicide. And so I would like to be able to step in my little world and give as many people as I can a different way of approaching life. And so that's where we are.
Who is this book for?
but I don't have the American copy here. I'd love to be able to read that to you, but in the acknowledgments, you'll see it's for every person that's been, you know, been rejected, been dejected.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Been told that they weren't enough, been, you know, sidelined, been, you know, put aside, been treated poorly for whatever reason, you know, the people that didn't have the kind of, you know, happy childhood that was supportive. Many people, you know, all people from all over the world are capable of having children, but not many people are capable of raising happy, healthy children with, you know, with good, strong backbone and work ethic and the idea of wanting to live a life with personal growth. You know, I want to grow personally. I want to live in personal growth constantly, all the time. And so again, wanting to be a better person tomorrow than I am today. And what am I going to do to achieve that? And so that's what I think, you know, I would say to everyone that will read the book. It's a 12 chapter. It's a manual. You're not going to read about self-esteem. You're going to do self-esteem. Excuse me. There are case studies. There's a review. There's the Daily Demons. There's Clarissa's Corner. There are all kinds of little nuggets and tidbits in there that are really, really helpful. You will do the homework. That's really an important part of this book, is that you'll start with release and you'll go into release, rebuild, responsibility, reimagine. I could go on. And then the last chapter is reciprocal. And so for me, it was really, you know, one of the things that I had to learn was how to accept things from other people. You know, somebody said to me, Clarissa, it's so hard to do anything for you because you do it all. And that was my way of saying, hey, you know, people do want to do things for me. I have to allow that. You know, I mean, I can't be doing, you know, type A and doing for everybody and being everybody's, you know, caregiver and caretaker. You know, let me step back, because I have a very strong, you know, personality. Let me step back and let others step into that place. So it makes them feel good too. So that reciprocality, right? It's another law of the universe. That was one of the other ones that I had to learn. So it's a happy ending, but you know that you have to do the work. It's going to take courage. You know, we talk about mirror work in that book. So you're going to work with yourself in the mirror. And a lot of people don't like that idea, but it's not as scary as it seems. And then, you know, going the extra mile, because when you go the extra mile in life, it's probably the loneliest, darkest, scariest, rainiest, coldest mile that you'll ever walk. But you see the light at the end of the tunnel. And when you turn around, you know, and go, come on, everybody, come on, we're going to walk this extra mile. You turn around and nobody's there. They've all disappeared, you know. And so you too have that choice. You can turn around and go find your friends that left you in the dust, or you can move forward to the light and know that that light is so big and so bold and so bright and so worth that extra mile that, I mean, it's an extraordinary place to be when you're really wanting to live in and stay in and work with your personal development and growth.
Have you ever felt lonely?
I know that I'm alone, but I'm never lonely. Okay. And I am a little bit more of a loner. I'm not a super joiner. Like I'm not, you know, it's not like that, but I find all that as I go throughout my day or my week or my month, I fit in with every pod of people. You know, I just fit in and I find them and we get along and we're hugging and we're loving and it's fine. And, you know, whether that, you know, whatever that is, if it's a work situation or whatever the social situations, but I don't have to speak to them every day and they don't have to speak to me every day. You know, it's kind of, so I'm not alone. I'm alone, but I'm not lonely.
What does woman empowerment mean to you? Because you started back then.
Since my mother in the 60s, I remember in the 60s, I was a child and I remember the movement was very strong. What does it mean, empowerment? It means being a cheerleader for every woman on the planet. You know, I don't know what jealousy is. I don't know what it means. It's not in my wheelhouse, and I'm happy for every woman. So knowing that the universe is resplendent, knowing that it is plentiful, knowing that there's enough to go around for everyone, and really wanting to see other people shine is a sure sign of maturity, and definitely a sign of confidence and of self-esteem. Confidence, by the way, if we break that word down from the Latin confidere, which means con with, fidere, trust. Confidere, with trust. So confidence is having trust in yourself. And when you step into that really powerful place, like, I really trust myself. Can I mess up sometimes? Yeah. Am I going to make a mistake? Yes. But I really am walking with it, you know, strongly with trust, you know, with confidence in who I am, what I'm about, where I'm going, and who I'm helping. Keeping in mind always, who are you helping? Sometimes you have to stop and help yourself. And that's okay. Remember what I said about giving yourself grace, giving yourself, forgiveness, you know, all of that, making sure you've got your oxygen on first, right? And then, you know, and then going out and say, okay, and I'll stop and I'll say, universe, what can I do today? Who can I help today? Is there someplace I need to be? And then I go out about my day. And when the opportunity presents itself, and it could be a small opportunity, a medium opportunity, it could be saying to the lady in the supermarket, I love that top. That is so pretty. It looks so great on you. Something so simple, right? Something so seems so simple. You don't know what her day has been like. You have no idea what you may have just done to say something nice, because a lot more people are suffering on this planet than you think. So just do the right thing. Do something nice. Do something kind. It's not hard.
We have our own inhibitions.
We are the ones that complicate our lives. It's really not that hard.
True. On this note, I'm going to ask you three questions as a takeaway. What advice would you give somebody who feels trapped in the cycle of negativity and self-doubt?
Yeah. Well, if they feel trapped, then they know their feeling. They know what their feelings are. So already they're a step ahead of the game, which means I'm feeling this way. It's not feeling so good. I need to do something about it. That's the trigger, right? I need to do something about this. And again, one of the easiest things that I can say is there's YouTube full of information. There's meetups that are, if you feel like you want to get out and be around people, there are books a plethora. You know, when I was talking to you about the self-help section in the bookstores way back when, let me tell you, Sujaya, it was a small little section. I mean, there were 40 or 50 books. Now in Barnes & Noble, it is two full rows. I mean, it is books of rows upon rows upon rows upon rows of personal development books. So there really is no more excuse to not getting the information you need when you need it. Again, I'm happy to say my book is on those shelves, because that's a crowning moment for me. But, you know, if you're feeling trapped, you know you're trapped. Get untrapped. It's quite that simple. Make the first move. What can you do? Google it, YouTube it, meetup groups, and certainly the bookstores are right around, usually, and, you know, they're around, or order the book, any of the books off of Amazon, get them to the house and start reading, especially the self-esteem regime, because it's really simple read. You're not going to read about it. You're going to do it. Like, from chapter one, you're going to start your journal. You're going to start your homework. You're going to start to see why potentially, you've gotten yourself trapped. I think this is a good way. If you think you need more professional help, then do that as well. But if you think it's just a place where you go, you know what, I just need to give myself a little motivation, do it that way.
As an experienced media person, what advice would you give for the people in media to stay relevant and authentic in the current times?
Yeah, that's one of the greatest words ever, is authentic. And it's used and overused, but it's really true when we say, you know, we are now so attuned through all of the media that we have, so social media, non-social media, legacy media, we now, we've become sleuths. We're like great investigators now. We know when somebody is or is not authentic, and we can kind of smell when something is off. So that is, I think, the most important thing is being authentic, being exactly who you are, and giving the greatest information, greatest education, greatest inspiration that you can in a short time that we have together to someone that needs to hear it. If you stay if you stay true to yourself as an interviewer, as the media, stay true to what your have a vision in mind, have a vision board, have your relevancy very strong in mind. Like, where is it? Who do you want to be? Who do you want to reach? What do you want to tell them? And stay along that line all the time. I think they call it vision board, but you understand. I think I forget the words right now, but yeah, just, you know, have it. Oh, I'm so sorry. I can't come up with the word, but I think you understand the gist.
Yes. Can you share one strategy from your book that it can be a life changer to build a self-esteem?
I think one of the most important things that I like to talk about is, first of all, social media. It's really being really, really careful about that. But we always talk about grass being greener on the other side. And so that wanting to compare ourselves, that self-esteem 101, want to compare myself to someone else. Well, first of all, I'm just so darn glad to be me. I wouldn't want to be anybody else. Like, why would you want to be somebody else when you get to be you? You're so lucky. You can form your life and yourself the way you want to and with the person that you are. But getting back to comparing yourself to someone else, you know, you always say the grass is always greener on the other side. Well, first of all, I'd like to offer that the grass is always greener where you water it. We all have a tendency now to go on social media and say, well, she's doing so well, and look at the car, and look at that person, look at her clothes, and look at her hair, and look at her makeup, all these things. And all of the things, and look, I wish success on everyone. You know, and if that's the case, be happy for her and her success. But stop comparing yourself to her, because you're not. You get to create your own script. You get to be the writer, the director, the producer, and the actor in your own movie. Dang, that is so cool, right? So do that and stop, stop playing into the fake that is. There's plenty of fake out there, plenty of it. So again, back to that authentic word, just be authentic with yourself don't be in competition with anybody else. Be in competition with yourself and who you were yesterday.
Yeah. Beautiful. Thank you so much, Clarissa, for your time and your wisdom and your a bit slice of your life. So thank you so much for being on my show.
Welcome, love. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Discovering Journeys. I would love for this podcast to reach as many people as possible. So please remember to subscribe, rate, and leave a positive review. Share this podcast with someone you think who would appreciate this conversation. Check out the show notes for all the links and details. Until next time, keep embracing your journey and discovering new paths.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious to buy chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.